Scripture reading this morning comes to us from the Gospel of John, chapter 10. Begin the reading at verse number 11, very familiar verses, I'm sure. Listen to the Word of God. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. The same God who inspired these words, incline our hearts and our minds to their understanding. Pray with me. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I have to admit that my focus for years in this passage has been on the Good Shepherd. I guess that's as it should be, and I suppose as the Good Shepherd himself would want it to be. But for some reason, I'm thinking probably a God reason, I was struck a few months ago in my long-range sermon planning when I counted three times in these verses that the common lectionary assigns to this, the third Sunday in Eastertide, three times in this passage that the words hired hand are mentioned. That seemed to be pretty significant to me. And so did the reminder from many scholars that Jesus' use of a shepherd to describe his messianic role here was instantly recognizable for the audience of his day. And what's more, his audience would have been particularly attentive to Jesus' use of his so-called I am sayings. Over the course of his gospel, which, by the way, is lacking some of the parables in the other gospels, but is also a little bit heavier theologically, over the course of his writing, John will put the I am sayings on the lips of Jesus some nine times, depending on how you count them, including the one before us today. Jesus will say in the Gospel of John, I am the gate, I am the good shepherd, I am the bread, I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the vine, I am the light of the world, and finally, I am the resurrection. And I believe that each time Jesus used that I am phrase, that would have resonated with Jesus' audience too, who would have known that there was another one who used that phrase as well. Do you know who that was? We have to go all the way back to the Old Testament. When God led Moses up to the top of Mount Sinai, and appeared to Moses in a burning bush and basically said to Moses, Moses, I want you to go down and I want you to go to Pharaoh and I want you to tell the Pharaoh to let my people go. You are the one that I am appointing to release my people from their bondage in Egypt. And what does Moses say to this voice in the burning bush? He says, who, pray tell, should I go to Pharaoh and say, is telling me to release my people from bondage? And the voice says, Moses, tell them I am sent you. So every time Jesus opened his mouth, I am the gate, I am the bread of life. I am the vine. Everyone who had read through their Bible that year and was up on their scriptures, I believe, would have tilted their heads with a smile and one of those all-knowing looks. They would have gotten the connection between Jesus saying, I am, and the great I am of the Old Testament. But I'm not sure they would have gotten the connection here when Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Why? Well, because those two words, good and shepherd, didn't fit well in the same sentence back in the day. Because you guys remember what that culture thought about shepherds, right? Shepherds were an impoverished lot. They were stinky, smelly, they were a little crass, just a little rough around the edges, and they were not particularly well liked at all. And they were certainly not well respected. So while people would have gotten the I am connection, using the word good and shepherd in the same sentence was a little cognitively dissonant for the culture of the day. Nancy Blakely, in her commentary on this text, says, for Jesus to say that he was the good shepherd would have been an affront to the religious elite and the educated. The claim had an edge to it. A modern day equivalent might be for Jesus to say, I am the good migrant worker. You hear that? We think of migrant workers and we think, just a little lower class than us. It was the same way back in the day. So I think that today, these verses still carry a little bit of an edge to them. For two reasons, really. One is because this business of being sheep, cared for by a shepherd, is so far removed from our culture that it makes it tough for us to really understand. In addition, I think I've shared this with you before. I had a friend at my old church in Jefferson Center, a clergy colleague who raised sheep. And he always made it a big deal on the floor of Presbytery to say, pastors, don't ever call your people sheep. Sheep are some of the dumbest animals around. Don't be doing that. So we don't get this whole sheep being led by shepherd image. The second reason I think that this phrase still has a little edge today is even if we do understand a little bit about that culture and we get what John is getting at in the reference here and we get what Jesus is trying to say in this passage, it still doesn't sit well with us. Why? Because we live in a day and a time when we want to, in some way, shape, or form, we want to be the good shepherds. We want to be the one in charge of our own flocks, our own situations, our own lives. And we want others to listen to our voices. To use the language of our day, we want to be our own boss. I mean, think about it. Not too many people today are really very interested in being led around. You know what I mean? I mean, everyone, it seems, wants to be a leader, but no one wants to be led. We want to be the good shepherd in charge of our own flock. I paraphrase and modernize the sentiment that I think is still alive today of the ancient Roman philosopher, politician, and historian Sallust, who almost a century before Christ said this, every man and woman is the architect of his own fortune and his own future. In other words, if it's going to be, it's up to me, myself, and I. We are the architect of our own lives. Everyone wants to be a good shepherd. I mean, check it out. Go to the business section at Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble and see how many good books you can find me on how to be a good follower. Right? I mean, you're not going to find any. But if I said, now find me some books on how to be a good leader, that's where we are today. People in the know about how to get other people to lead. And we're doing that in a day and a time when precious few people want to follow. We are living in a day and a time when the consumer mentality rules. Or better, we are living in what I would call the Burger King age. In other words, you can have it your way. And if you don't get it your way, you can go elsewhere. It's that simple. I know I've shared this before with you. It's a quote from the book Renovation of the Church, written by two authors, Kent Carlson and Mike Lucan, pastors at Oak Hill Church out in California, who totally revamped their church around focusing on spiritual formation and what it means to model our lives after Jesus. And these guys say at this one point in the book, getting what we want is part of daily life in our culture. Our satisfaction is paramount. If we don't like this television show, we hit the button. If we don't like this song on our iPod, we hit the button. If church stops meeting our needs, we hit the button. Every day, we are told that what we have is insufficient. We are bombarded with messages to upgrade, trade in, and borrow to buy. Our economy thrives on perpetual discontentment. The long-term consequence of this relentless marketing of dissatisfaction is that we become accustomed to having our needs met when and how we want. We can have it our way because we live in a Burger King age. So do you see what this means then, folks? It means that while we are all trying to be the architects of our own fortunes and our futures, that means that we are perceiving everyone around us as our own personal hired hands. And we expect those people to be at our beck and call. And if that is the case, and hired hands are, well, not very caring, really, according to the passage before us today. If that is the case, how much more do we really need a good shepherd, the likes of the one Jesus talks about in the passage before us today? I mean, the fact of the matter is, if you take a close look out there, and maybe even in the mirror, we will realize that there are precious few good shepherds out there. There are precious few good bosses out there. You know what I mean? And think about this. And think about your own boss. And if you are a boss, or had been a boss, then think about your own life and work and ask yourself a couple of questions. Does my boss, do I really love the way the good shepherd, the good boss in the passage before us today loves? Does he or she, do I as a boss really love and care for all the people that I am responsible to and for the same way? Or do I play favorites? Do I love in the same way that the good shepherd cares for and loves the sheep in the verses from the Gospel of John? Does my boss, do I really lay down my life for those committed to my care? Really? I'm willing to lay down my life as a boss? Because that's an important role of the good shepherd. Four times in the passage before us today, Jesus mentions that fact. The good shepherd, the good boss, lays down his life for his sheep and for his peeps. So how's that working out for you, Mr. Boss Man? Madam Boss Woman? How's your boss doing with that? How am I? How are you? And the more I think about it, the more I realize how much I need the Good Shepherd. And the likes of the Good Shepherd that Jesus describes in the passage before us today. And Lord knows, with hired hands all around me, all around us, Lord knows I am no good shepherd. And Lord knows we need one now, more than ever. Friends, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, and I will model for you what protection and care and love really look like. And I will lay down my life for you. I will lay down my life for you. And Jesus says, in your world of hired hands and hurt feelings, in your world of want and waywardness, in your world of consumerism and cutthroat business tactics, in your world of wolves and warfare, you need me. You need me, Jesus says. Thanks be to God. When His people can say, yes, yes, I really do need you. Let us pray. God bless this simple witness given in your name. Amen.